Welcome, my name's Luke. I'm one of the pastors in the Eastlake Network of Churches. And I'm so happy to be here today. Hey, has anyone ever jumped off a high dive before? Like a real high dive? Like one of those that we just saw? A couple people have? Or what about like a big boulder? Or a cliff into the ocean? Anybody ever done any cliff jumping or diving? A couple of people? Okay, how about like off the edge of your bathtub? My kids do that all the time. I hate it. Several years ago, I worked at a summer camp. I did one summer there as a camp counselor. And when I arrived, all the other counselors let me know that me and the other new counselors would have to be initiated. And the way the initiation worked is they would walk you off the beaten path through the forest, and we would come to this rope swing. And this rope swing, you had to climb this boulder, jump to the rope, swing out over a small river, and you jump in, you dive in. And this rope swing, actually, they named it. It had a name carved into the tree. It was called the Scary Rope Swing of Death. And I thought, that's stupid. That's just to scare people like me, because it's just a rope swing. What could possibly happen? So I had a lot of courage. And as I was waiting for my turn, I thought, this is going to be no problem. I wasn't scared at all of the Scary Rope Swing of Death until the guy right before me went. Because as he jumped to the rope, he swung a little too far to the left, bounced off the tree, and landed about 3 feet shy of the water. And now I know why it's called the Scary Rope Swing of Death. So I had a choice. I could either man up, grab this rope, swing, do some kind of epic cannonball into the water, or the walk of shame back to camp. Thankfully, I did not bounce off the tree. I did not land in the dirt. I actually made it successfully to the water, being initiated in to the rest of the with the rest of the camp counselors and not being outcast like the other guy. So that took some guts. It took some risk. It took some courage. It definitely took a commitment on my part to say, okay, I'm in. I'm going. As soon as I jump, I'm 100% committed to this thing. And I think that's a good reflection of the spiritual journey we're about to embark on as individuals, as a church, and as a network of churches. What we're going to do is going to take some courage. It's going to take some commitment, maybe even some risk on our part as we enter this cannonball initiative. And I'm asking all of us here to do three things over the next 6 weeks. And I believe all of us can do these three things. Here they are. Here's the first thing. I'm asking you to show up for the next 5 weeks here to hear the weekend messages. Hear the weekend cannonball message for the next 5 weeks. Come to one of our two services. That's the first thing I'm asking all of us to do. The second thing I'm asking all of us to do is to join a group. Groups are gatherings of between 5 and 15 or so people. We meet in homes weekly when in session. And I'm going to tell you how to sign up for a group at the end of service today. The third thing I'm asking all of us to do is to do the eDevo, the eDevotional. You can sign up on the connection card. Mark the little box that says, send me the eDevo, as long as your email is on there. Monday through Friday, you'll receive a short morning devotion based off of what we've talked about on the weekend. So you sit down for 5 minutes or so, go through the eDevo, and start your day off with you and with Jesus and with some scripture. And I believe that if we do these three things, all of us are going to see our faith grow. We're going to see our spiritual lives expanded and thrive even beyond what they are. So that's my challenge, 100% participation over the next 6 weeks. We're going to talk today a little bit about our history, where we've been. We're going to talk about what we believe God is saying to do now and where God is leading us into the future. Now, our church has always been really a cannonball story, a commit, all in, make waves story. From day one, 25 years ago, when we started this thing out in Chula Vista, there have always been a group of people who have been willing to take big leaps of faith. They've been willing to sacrifice, to give, to serve, to pray, to invite their friends into this Jesus thing, to live on the Jesus mission daily outside of this gathering. And that's really what this is all about, living on the Jesus mission outside of this place in our daily, everyday lives. The results have made kingdom waves for God. Those kingdom waves have been, our friends have found Jesus. They've begun following him. They've been baptized. They're being discipled, becoming deeper and more mature in Jesus. We've cared for the poor and the orphans and the homeless. We've done that well. And I believe where God is calling us to go now is an even deeper level of commitment, even bigger waves that we're going to make for him, an even stronger impact in Imperial Beach for all the people who aren't here yet, all the people who aren't with Jesus yet. They don't know him. They're not in relationship with him yet. Those are the people God is calling us to reach, to tell them the Jesus story, to see them respond, for them to take the spiritual step of baptism and then begin to grow and deepen their faith, just like many of us are in the process of doing. This is where God is calling us. He's calling us to love our neighbors and neighborhoods in ways that we haven't yet done. One of the things through this Cannonball Initiative we're working on is getting a physical location for our church. And through that location, Monday through Friday, we're going to be able to love our community. We're going to be able to outreach towards them and to serve them without judgment, with no strings attached, to love people who have nothing to offer back. That's what Jesus is calling to do. And that is exactly what we're going to do. And today, we're starting that journey. This is the beginning. I'm going to show you a vision video right now. It's 10 minutes long, and then I'm going to come up and wrap things up, give a little more content. But in this video, you're going to see the start of the Eastlake story. You're going to see from day one when our lead pastor, Mike Meeks, decided to jump on board with this thing and get it going, leading all the way up to where we are today. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about where we're going. Watch this.
I'm sure we can all look back at our lives and mark our journey through some defining moments. The decision we made in our education, or meeting our spouse, the birth of a child or your children, that business partnership, or that invitation to church, etc. As I look back on the life of our network and each congregation, it has been an incredible journey of faith and defining moments. A defining moment for our Chula Vista Church was all the way back in 1991. When a small congregation on the west side of Chula Vista sold their property to the city for a brand new library, and then used that money to start three new churches in California, one of those being Eastlake Church. Our legacy is built on multiplication and church planting. That was a defining moment and step of faith for that small congregation. Eastlake Chula Vista started in a home with about 30 people about 25 years ago. I became the pastor in 1997. As a matter of fact, I bought my home from the founding pastor where Eastlake Chula Vista started. That's where I still live today. Then we moved to Eastlake High School. Now these 100 people believed in being a church, not just for themselves. The church grew and grew, and we built some buildings and bought property and did that each time through big faith steps and generosity initiatives. People believed in the mission and gave sacrificially, generously allowing us to make room for others to connect with Jesus.
You see, throughout our 25 years, we've helped plant 19 new churches. These are autonomous churches that are not our campuses, but people that we know and have believed in, that have started gospel-centered churches in communities to reach unchurched people. 19! That's amazing in 25 years. But we also knew that this special DNA that Eastlake Church had needed to be sent out into other communities as well. And that's when our network of churches was birthed. It started in Imperial Beach, then Rancho San Diego, then North Park and Mission Valley. Then it was East Lake Church, Salt Lake City. And then Venice Church joined in. And then East Lake Church, Tijuana. Then the bridge planted and joined us. Then we planted East Lake Church, Temecula. And then Torrey Pines Church joined just last Easter. That's 28 new churches in 25 years. It's amazing to see what God has done. Those 30 people in a home with a vision to reach people far from God has now grown into a network of 9 churches that weekly worships with more than 7,000 people.
One of the things that I'm most proud of as we've grown as a network of churches is our missions and outreach giving. We've built wells, cared for orphans, built dorms and libraries and churches. We've cared for the homeless, built homes in Baja, helped school kids in Mexico, and provided a safe house for human trafficking victims. Just this past year, we baptized almost 500 people and saw more than 1,600 people come to Christ or come back to Christ in one of our services.
We believe we are at the edge of another defining moment in the history of our church. And we believe He's calling us into some big things over the next 2 years in the life of all of our churches.
So we thought a fun way to express this next season in our network of churches is what we are calling Cannonball. Jump in, make waves. That is what we want to do. We want to jump all in, taking huge faith steps, and we are believing the results will make some really big Kingdom of God waves. When you do a cannonball in a pool, you have to fully commit. There is no dipping your toe. You have to take that leap and go all in. And once you do a cannonball, it makes waves. There's a big initial splash, and then there are these waves that ripple out in all directions from the cannonball. We think this is a great picture of what God is calling us into this next season and what we believe can happen as a result of our big faith steps.
So during this next 2 years, we're beginning a generosity initiative where we want our collective giving across 9 churches, thousands of people and families to accomplish some pretty big Kingdom of God waves. Wave of compassion. We're believing God for 1.5 million in outreach locally, regionally, and globally. What this represents is our next 2 years of Christmas conspiracy offerings. We're believing that this Cannonball Generosity Initiative is going to cover all that we hope to accomplish in missions and outreach.
Wave of mission, infusing $15 million into the lifeblood of what we do daily. This is our general budget across all of our churches for 2 years with a $1 million increase. Resourcing weekly ministry in all of our churches through engaging services for adults, great children and youth programs, support groups, seminars, and a whole lot more.
Wave of multiplication. This is $3 million towards church planting and training church planters. We want to establish a robust residency program and leadership training center that teaches, trains, and sends out missionaries, church planters, and leaders in future churches.
Wave of engagement. $7.5 million in gaining and upgrading permanent facilities in the communities we serve. We are set up and tear down. Other church locations, we have permanent facilities. And in each of these locations, we want to steward these resources well and prepare for future growth and ministry needs. Our primary goal is 100% participation. And our secondary goal over the next 2 years is $27 million total. This is our collective giving goal across all 9 churches with thousands of families participating. Now, I know this is a big number, but it is a totally doable goal. I believe we already have all the resources we need to accomplish everything God is calling us to do. The only question is, are we once again willing to be a community of people who are willing to put everything on the line for this Jesus mission?
You see, the truth is, it's never been about us and what we can accomplish. It's always been about what God can do and what He can accomplish through us for His glory. For our entire 25 years, we've operated under two big principles as a church. Number one, our church is not just for us. And then number two, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in everything we do. You see, everything we've ever done has been built on, and we've tried to live out those two things. And God is calling us deeper into those two things again.
So we're excited about Cannonball in a lot of ways. As our kids have grown and life becomes just very full, it's easy to get complacent and comfortable with where you are. And we're excited to be stretched again. We're excited to see people take that step for the first time like we did.
Cannonball is really, it's stretching us to really think differently. And not think about ourselves. The mission of East Lake is really people helping people find and follow Jesus, so we're on board.
The size of the goal, the magnitude of the goal that was presented to us was overwhelming. But the realization after it was presented that we can play a part in that.
Because we have the opportunity to know that East Lake is such a huge organization, when you think about how many people are in the whole organization, and just divvy it out a little bit, it's not so hard to get there.
You see, the reason we have properties and buildings and kids' rooms and churches and schools and churches and theaters is because people have come before you, and they've given, and they've sacrificed, and they've believed in this Jesus mission. And we believe God is calling us again to give and to sacrifice so others can find and follow Jesus, so that we could all look back 25 years from now and say, wow, look what God has done. Look at the disciples made, the leaders trained, the churches started, the missions projects accomplished, all for God's glory, not our own.
Awesome. That is awesome. Hey, at the end of your row, you have a Cannonball booklet. It looks just like this. So if you are your row leader, go ahead and grab those. Take one. It's one per person, not one per couple. One per person. And go ahead and start passing those down the rows. there's a lot of content in here. I'm going to tell you what this has. You'll also notice that it has this guy hanging off the side. This is the Cannonball commitment card. Let me just tell you right now, we're not asking you to do anything with this today. All I'm asking you to do is hang on to this, take it home with you, put it somewhere where you will be able to see it, think about it, pray about it over the next 5 weeks. So as soon as everyone has their Cannonball booklet, we're going to turn to page 40. You can do that right now. And there's all kinds of great stuff in there, so here's what I want to ask. Don't read all the other great stuff yet. You can take that home and look through that later. But for right now, we're going to turn to page 40, and we're going to work through where it says week one. Oh, yeah, can we get some house lights? Thank you. We're going to work through week one on page 40. Everybody's got a pen as well. So here we go. I'm going to start off by reading our theme verse again. Here it is. Philippians 3, 12 through 13. It says, I'm not there yet, nor have I become perfect, but I'm charging on to gain anything and everything the Anointed One Jesus has in store for me. And nothing will stand in my way because He has grabbed me and won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I've not arrived, but there's one thing I'm doing. I'm leaving my old life behind and putting everything on the line for this mission. Our friends on the patio, parent viewing room, we've got books for you too. If you don't have those, we got them out there. All right, awesome. I'm putting everything on the line for this mission. What would happen if we all decided to live our lives like this? What would happen? What kind of kingdom of God waves would take place over the next 6 weeks and over the next 2 years if we decided to live our lives this way? Write this down. I'm going to talk about three things that happen when we decide to go all in. Here's the first thing. When we jump all in, I move from me to we. I move from a me mentality to a we mentality. And it's our human nature to have a me mentality and not a we mentality. If you have young kids, you know this is true. When my daughter, she's 7 now, when she was about 1, I think 9 months actually, she said her, was that right? Do kids talk at 9 months? I just don't even know. She said her first word. And her first word, I was so proud of her. Her first word was dad. Dada. Isn't that awesome? And then naturally, of course, her second word was mine. Right? You know why? Because she's a little sinner. That's why. So she has a me mentality, even at not even one year old. And so do all of us. We have me mentality. It's very natural. But what would happen if on this spiritual journey, if we can move from a me to a we mentality? Let me read Acts chapter 2. Here's what it says. This is kind of, the book of Acts is the story really of the first church that was created. Happens here, and it was written by my favorite author. His name was Luke. It's great. Here we go. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That just means friendship. That's like a churchy word for friendship. And to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper. That's communion. And to prayer. You know what that looks like? That's a family win. You've heard that phrase a couple times. That's a family win. They devoted themselves to being together, to sharing meals, and to prayer. The family win is when, in my family, if my 7-year-old daughter has a win at school, that's a family win. We all celebrate. I'm like, oh, you! I'm so jealous of my 7-year-old. That's a family win. If my wife has a win, I'm not jealous of her. I'm not angry with her. I'm excited. I'm happy. I hope that's the way our families are. I hope that's the way we can be with each other in this room. I hope that's the way, as we look at our church network, when IB Church has a win, that Temecula Church cheers us on. And when Torrey Pines has a win, that the church in Tijuana cheers them on. Because we're all one in Christ. That's a family win. Here's what 1 Corinthians says. This is a letter that was written to the Corinthians by the Apostle Paul, talking about the family win. This is in your booklet. That way there should be no division in the body. That means the church. When he says the body, that means the church. Instead, all parts mutually dependent on and care for one another. If one part is suffering, then all the members suffer alongside it. If one member is honored, then all the members celebrate alongside it. You are the body of the anointed, the liberating king. Each and every one of you is a vital member. Each of you and me, we're needed, we're important, we're supposed to be here. We have a purpose for our lives that Jesus is calling us into. The church was not man's idea. People love to bash the church. And you know what? There's a lot of churches and pastors and priests who've done a lot of stupid stuff to mess up the name of Jesus and the church. But the church is the bride of Christ. It's his bride. It's his idea. Jesus loves the church and he died for the church. And every one of us, people that make up a part of it, are needed and we're loved and we're supposed to be here. And God has a plan for your life in the church. God does not have a plan for you outside of the church. And there's kind of a lot of people love to think that way. And they love to say, no, I'm spiritual, I need God, not the church. Jesus never said that. He said the opposite. And sometimes, churches fail. And sometimes, there's ugliness inside of them. And you know why? Because they're full of people. sinners, me, you. But Jesus, it's still his primary and only plan for redeeming all of humanity and reconnecting us back to God the Father. It's the only plan. There is no plan B. This is Jesus' plan for the redemption of the world. As we think of the family win, anybody here know the most decorated Olympian of all time? Wrong. That's for taking a picture of me earlier. Yes! You got it right! Michael Phelps. Michael, we see the smart one in the family. Okay. I'm just... You can punch me later. I'm sorry. Michael Phelps is correct. And he has 28 Olympic... You know when someone makes fun of you? That's when they really actually like you. We're friends now. So, Michael Phelps is the most decorated Olympian of all time. You guys are like, I'm never answering a question out loud here. And 13 of those medals were from relay events. People helped him win almost half of the medals he's won. He couldn't have done it without the family win. He both was a beneficiary and a participant within the family win. And that's exactly how we hope to operate here as a church and as a network of churches. Write this down. We move from religious consumers to mission contributors. We move from religious consumers to mission contributors. It's okay to be a religious consumer for a time. If you're just checking out Jesus, not sure about church, it's okay. Come here and receive. And after you decide to follow Jesus and go all in, it's a process where you become a mission contributor down the line. Let me read another scripture from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They met in homes. They worshiped. They did big group gatherings in the temple like this. And then they met in homes and shared meals together, just like we do in growth groups. You see, people often say, oh, I don't want to go to church. I want to see church how it was attended and how it really started 2,000 years ago. Then join a growth group. That's how church really started 2,000 years ago. It was growth groups. They were meeting in each other's homes, sharing a meal, praying for each other, learning, growing together, supporting each other. That's what this is all about. Yes, there's big group gatherings, and these are important. We worship the Lord corporately together here. That's good. And then we meet in homes. That's even better. Join a group. I hope today you will join a group. All right, here's the second great thing that happens. We move from ordinary to extraordinary. We move from ordinary to extraordinary. Another scripture from Acts says the first church was forming. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Don't you want to be a part of a supernatural movement of God where he's adding people to his church? You see, there's our part, their part, and God's part. When we think about our family and our friends who aren't here yet, there's our part, their part, and God's part. Your part might just be to share your story or to give them an invite to church. Their part is to contemplate that. God's part is to do the convincing inside of them. Today, I'm responsible for the presentation, but God is responsible for the outcome. I have no pressure for what's happening in your heart and in your mind right now. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who is working in you. That's his job. I don't have to feel pressure for that. And you don't have to feel pressure for what happens in the life of your friends and family. Your part is the presentation. God's part is to do the convincing. That's His job. And He does. And when He does, supernatural things happen. The Holy Spirit will move. Chances are the Holy Spirit has moved in your life before. Maybe that's why you're here today. Let me read Acts 4. All the members of the council were amazed, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized these men had been with Jesus. They were ordinary men. These people who founded the church were ordinary men. 2,000 years ago, this group of 12 began to plant the church. And today, it's the same church. It's the same story. Those disciples back then, these disciples in this room today, and around the world. It's the same story we're in. It's just 2,000 years later. They were ordinary men. I'm an ordinary man. They had no special training in the scriptures. When I, 11 years ago, God spoke to me, and it was the most incredible, crazy, physical thing that has ever happened to me in my life. And here's what He said: Luke, go to East Lake Church and become a pastor. So I did. I drove straight there. And I sat with the co-lead pastor at the time, and he didn't know me. And I said, "Pastor Ben, I'm going to sound crazy, but you got to believe me. God just spoke to me, and He told me to come here and be a pastor." I had no intention of becoming a pastor. Zero. And he said, "Luke, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Do you have pastoral experience?" "No." "Oh, okay, no worries. Do you have your seminary degree?" "No." "Do you have a degree at all?" "No." "But God told me to be a pastor." And you know what He said to me? He said, "We don't hire people like you." He was really direct. He said, "This is a large church. There's no way you could get on staff." He was just frank with me. He said, "Okay, you're a business owner. You started a business right out of high school." "Yeah, what do? "Signs." "Signs." Actually, the sign I put up was in the video that you just watched. It said East Lake Church. It was on the building. And he said, "The one that's right outside?" I said, yeah, I did that. That was me. That was my company." And he said, "That was about a month ago, right?" "Yeah." He said, "I walked outside and I looked at you guys. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And He said, the person operating that crane is going to be a pastor here. Was that you?" "That was me! Yes, that was me! God spoke to me today." It was on Christmas Eve, 2005. I drove straight there. "And God spoke to you a month ago, so you have to hire me, even though I don't have my degree or experience or any of this." And He agreed. It was so crazy. And then I went to seminary after I... You see, God is using ordinary people like me and like you to do everything He wants to accomplish on this earth. There's God's part, there's our part, and there's their part. Are you willing today to grab hold of your part? The part that God is beginning to put a dream in your heart. And you will begin to hear Him whisper His plan for your life and what He wants to do. And you're going to say, "That's not God. That's just me. That's just my own stupid brain." It's God. God is speaking. God is moving. God is doing something new in us, in all of us. And I believe it's starting right here today. You see, I'm not willing to be a part of a church that only celebrates what happened in the good old days. God is doing something new. He's moving. He's working within us. And the best is yet to come. He wants us to impact Imperial Beach and all the other communities that our churches are in, as well as the 100 new communities for the 100 new churches that we're going to be planting over the next 25 years. And I hope today you make a commitment in your own heart and say, "God, I don't know what the outcome of all this means for me, but I'm in. I'm doing a cannonball. I don't know what that exactly even means yet. But I'm in. Jesus, you lead, and I will follow.